Welcome to Conversations with Community Managers, a podcast series with actual community managers from a variety of industries. On this podcast, we peel back the hype and get into how-to discussions that uncover community and social media management best practices. Conversations with Community Managers is a co-production of Voce Communications and the Community Roundtable.
This is Doug Haslam from Voce Communications.
And Jim Storer with the Community Roundtable. And we're joined today by Janet Aronica, the Community Manager at 140.com. Hi, Janet.
Hi there.
Glad to have you here. Can you maybe give everyone a sense of what 140 is and what you guys do if they're not familiar with you?
Sure. So 140 is an online community for people who want to discover, share, and review social media tools. And we're probably the internet's largest database of Twitter apps and social media tools for business. We have, I think, about 4,000 now in our database. We're trying to get about 100 a week that we're adding and just constantly increasing that database. And almost a Yelp website where, you know, I'm creating that community of people who are writing reviews and giving feedback to the people who create these sort of apps. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's really neat. So you have built a really interesting user community and ways for users to interact. One of the things you've done is built these toolkits, which I think is really interesting because it's a lot of times they're developed around specific roles people have in social media. Can you talk a little bit about what toolkits are and how members of your community use them?
Sure. So toolkits are really interesting. I think one of our users said it best. He described them as Twitter app lists. And we rolled those out around April. And we've seen toolkits created in a number of different ways. Some people create toolkits just showcasing their daily apps, their apps that they use on a daily basis. Other people have created toolkits to say, you know, I use social media as a real estate agent, and these are the tools I use as, to manage my relationships with my customers or for lead gen, or, you know, these are the mobile apps that I use while I'm, you know, on the go, or, you know, these are the tools I use as a public relations professional in the agency. And so I know we have Shift Communications made a toolkit. Steve Rebell over at Edelman made a toolkit for the PR world. And then we also have noticed sort of a trend in sort of comparative kind of toolkits where people will take a list of tools that are sort of similar and they'll compare them and write the comments where they sort of rate them in different ways. And so it's really interesting sort of to see the community members make these toolkits their own and give the developers the feedback and everything.
The first thing I see when I log into 140 is what my friends are. The first thing at least I'm drawn to is what my friends are either using or reviewing or sharing as far as Twitter apps.
And that's so good to see. That's what we've been trying to do is make it a more social site. So.
And now I'm seeing that those are the friends I follow on Twitter. Do you distinguish the 140 ecosystem of the community versus the larger Twitter one, or do you think of them as one and the same and that you're a subset of it?
I think that we're kind of trying to make it one and the same. I mean, we're trying to just surface. We think that it's sort of a recommendation economy and that people are inherently interested in what their friends are doing. And so you follow, you know, Jim on Twitter because you're interested in the same things that Jim is tweeting about. And so you're going to be interested in, you know, hey, you know, Jim does sort of community manager type things, social media strategist type things. I want to know what tools he's using and how he's getting the job done because I trust him. He's my friend. I'm already interested in his tweets. So I'm going to be interested in what tools he uses. And those are the things that we're working, you know, day in and day out to try and surface for everyone. And we just last week rolled out an apps your friend use sort of feature on profiles to do that. And, we had a very flat sort of 1.0 sort of profile pages on the website before. And I think that over the past few months, we've really done a better job of making those recommendations and integrating people's Twitter networks into the website.
Well, Doug and I are embarrassed to admit that when we were checking out your website earlier today, we were both at 0% on our profiles, but we fixed that. So
yes, I'm 100% thanks. Right now. So.
Yay! That's great.
It's quick and painless for folks listening, and I definitely think it surfaces some interesting information about who you are as a Twitter user.
And have you seen that changing how those profiles are built and encouraging people to share more just on their sign-up page, basically? Does that increase the interaction between the members?
Yeah, absolutely. Now that we also have like an activity stream, which is sort of a Facebook newsfeed style thing that's happening on the main part of profile pages. And so we're noticing that, you know, people are seeing that, oh, my friend is writing a review of this app. I'm going to go check it out. People are trying out more apps now, and people are, you know, kind of engaging more with different tools. And so, yeah, it's definitely helping. And now that they're seeing activity from people, you know, they're seeing it's coming to life. I think before, when it was a kind of a flat 1.0 site, people were using it as a directory. They would come, they would find the tool they were using, they were looking for, and they would leave. And now people are coming and hanging out for a while, and they're letting themselves discover something new. So
neat.
It's good.
So we've talked a lot about the user side of your community. Can you talk a little bit about how you work with developers and the community you've built for them?
Sure. So we also have another person, Jason Evanish. He's at Evanish on Twitter, and he's our customer development manager. And he's kind of like my partner in crime, and he runs our developer relations program. And so he runs the @140dev Twitter account and also blogs on our 140dev blog. And so he creates content and does things to relate to the developer community. So, and he also has held like a couple of tweet up and meet up sort of things. We did a hackathon a few months ago to kind of bring it local. And so he's doing that sort of outreach to really try to hear how we can serve kind of as a discovery engine for these people. That's how we are sort of a good resource for them, is that because they are creating these tools and they want to get the tools in front of like the social media people that are going to, you know, pay such and such dollars a month to use something like a CoTweet or whatever they're making. And so 140 sits in this very unique place in the ecosystem where we're connecting those two sides. And so that's kind of how Jason and I work, is that I'm appealing to the social media people. He's, you know, holding the hands of the developers, and we're trying to see how we can make those connections happen.
As a startup kind of sprouting from the brain of Laura Fitton, your founder, business priorities and business models can be malleable as the company matures and kind of finds out what it's going to do. Do those changes, or even the potential of change, does that affect the community? And I guess the converse question would be, does the community help decide and affect those changes?
Sure. I mean, I think that we are early stage, and like we are still trying to like find our footing and everything. But I think originally we were more like consumer facing, and we were just kind of like the Twitter app store, and we were just any kind of Twitter apps, anything that integrated with the Twitter API is what we were focusing on putting on our site. And now I think we're focusing on things that really business users are finding and investing in, and because that's where the money is. And I mean, doing the research, there's apps that are not really apps. It's really more software. I mean, you know, Radian 6 starts at $600 a month. I think, you know, Argyle Social is a new one that's out on the market. That's really an interesting tool where you can calculate your ROI of your social media activity. They have like several levels of plans, ranging from like $200 a month all the way up to like $500 a month. And so we're trying to see, you know, like that's really where like our time is better spent, is to see like how we can, like, you know, create connections to those sort of tools versus the free ones. And so, yeah, we are, you know, kind of changing course and appealing to a more business user community versus just, you know, boiling the ocean and everyone out there. So,
are those the creators of the, I guess, the more enterprise level applications? Mm-hmm. Are they active members of the communities as well as the individual developers working off the API?
Sure. I mean, it's kind of, it ranges because there are some people who are the individual developers working off the API that do these sort of weekend hacks, and then it's a, you know, they end up stumbling upon something. I think, I believe it's RowFeeder is an example of that, that they end up, that is kind of a way, I think I'm talking about the right one, but that's a way to take tweets and turn that, you collect tweets into an Excel spreadsheet, basically. But they're right out of Boston. And yeah, that started out as a weekend hack, just some people messing around. And now they actually have something that they're working on. I don't think they're full time yet. But so you never know, like something that you think is just like a little side project can turn into something that eventually leads to an enterprise level thing. But yeah, so they are active members of the community, some more than others, but we're trying to, you know, get people more involved and see how we can add value to them. And, you know, some people are warmer than others. Some people think that they don't really need 140. They don't need a discovery engine because they already have a customer base, so they're not, you know, claiming apps on the site and stuff. But we're trying to, you know, see what can we do to be helpful. So it's all about shining light on others as a community manager and helping them first and before you do the ask. So
I'm sure you do a lot of other things other than community management in your role there at 140.
Yeah.
How do you make sure that you don't leave the community by themselves for too long? How do you make sure that you really do focus on them enough time every day?
I mean, I keep CoTweet open constantly. I'm constantly checking like the at mentions and whatnot. I mean, it's really important to me that every time, I mean, I started this online forum, and so I get email reminders whenever there's a question or an answer in there. And even though it's distracting, I still don't have a better way to do it. To see when somebody likes or comments on our Facebook page, and I'm just starting to get interaction there, so I want to make sure I engage when I can. So I keep Facebook open, and I just try to only look at the page. It's so annoying to have to keep Facebook open, like, during the day. I don't like it. But, you know, I just try to make sure that, you know, like, I came here to be a community manager, and, like, that's what really my focus is. And so it's easy to get distracted by, like, all these other tasks that can be dealt with, but you got to keep like the big picture in mind. And so it's all about prioritizing and also keeping my own career goals in mind. Like, I came here to learn community management and marketing, and, you know, so I try to keep that in mind.
And you're able to do it 9 to 5. That's amazing.
I don't work 9 to 5. I work a lot of hours. My friends think I'm crazy, but you know, like, it doesn't even feel like work. I feel lucky that I honestly found something that I wake up excited about, so.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
You mentioned you use CoTweet, and I won't assume that that's a 140 endorsement of one tool over the others, but do you find that
no.
You and the other 140 people over there, if you mention that you're using a tool, do you find people saying, well, you guys must be the experts in this, and find people, do you find maybe there's a measurable effect towards a tool if you happen to mention you're using it because of your affiliation?
I mean, maybe not so much if we say that we're using it, because I think if Laura says that she uses it, because Laura has like a lot of Twitter followers. But I mean, full disclosure, like, Laura is an advisor to CoTweet, so we get sort of like a sweetheart deal with them. And we're a startup, so like, as far as we needed to get like a good tool at a good price. So, but I have gotten pretty lucky that I've gotten like a lot of trials and stuff, and like I got to drink the Kool-Aid. So I try like a lot of different tools, and I try to showcase what I've tried and stuff by making a ton of different toolkits to share with the community and blogging about them, creating that content. So yeah, but I always try to turn the conversations by just saying like, hey, these are the tools I try, but more importantly, this is what the community says that they have tried. So yeah.
Well, so then there's the folks that listen to this podcast are typically community and social media managers. Are there three tools that you couldn't live without?
Oh, God. Well, three tools. TweetReach is great. TweetReach is very affordable, I have to say, as far as like an analysis sort of tool. I think it's free for up to 50 tweets, and it's really helpful. It's a helpful way to see like how far your tweets are reaching out, and it's just a great analysis. I love the charts. It's easy to understand. That is a great one. I love Twidroid for my phone. It helps me keep very connected. And my tool that I'm like obsessed with right now because I have a free trial is Argyle Social. It's very interesting to me. So, yeah. And then I mentioned CoTweet. So, yeah.
There you go.
Well, Janet Aronica, community manager of 140.com. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Conversations with Community Managers, a co-production of the Community Roundtable and Voce Communications. To comment on what you have heard, email doug@voceconnect.com or jim@community-roundtable.com. You can comment on our blog posts at vocenation.com or community-roundtable.com/blog. Subscribe to this series on iTunes or on either blog.